In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the second epistle reading, we heard teachings that are so simply stated that it would be easy for us to just dismiss them and assume we already understand what they mean and not pay them any attention. But as a matter of fact, that epistle reading is one of the most profound passages of Scripture. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. The apostle is telling us that God is the source of love, and when we truly love, we are participating in the work of God, or we use a technical term, the energies of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If we truly love, we know God, and if we don't love, we don't know God. It's very simple. It's either one or the other, but the two go hand in hand. If we know God, we love Him. If we don't love, we don't know God. They can't have one without the other. Also, there's a statement in this particular verse that's not found in any other chapter of the Bible, although you've heard it probably quoted many times, and that's the statement, God is love. There are certainly many passages of Scripture that talk about how God loves. He does love. And there are passages of Scripture that certainly imply that God is love, but this is the only chapter in which it's stated God is love. It's His very nature. Love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And let me explain a word that many people don't know, the word propitiation. What that means is when you propitiate something, you make something that is unfavorable towards you, favorable. And Christ propitiates on our behalf and cleanses us of our sins by His sacrifice. There's a very similar statement to this verse in the Epistle to the Romans. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What it's saying is for a righteous man, there might be people who would die for such a person, and maybe even some might dare to do it for a good person, but there's not very many people who would give their lives in exchange for the life of a bad person. We admire those that save good people who sacrifice, and we might imagine some in our minds that if we were in the right situation, we might give our life in exchange for the right reason, to save someone. But it's hard to imagine giving your life to save someone who's an evil person, a bad person. And yet that's precisely what Christ did for us. In the genealogy today, when we read about the ancestors of Christ, certainly there were very many righteous and saintly people who are mentioned in that genealogy, but even they had their faults. David, we're told in Scripture, is a man after God's own heart, and yet we know that he committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had her husband murdered when she became pregnant as a means of covering up his sin, and it was only when the prophet Nathan confronted him that he came to repentance. But he did know how to repent. But was he a good man? Well, not apart from the grace of God, not apart from the forgiveness of God. And then in the genealogy, there are many other people who there's not a whole lot good you could say. And some of the ancestors of Christ were not stellar, saintly people. And that's not to mention all the people in the world that lived from the time of Adam until the time of Christ who were not his ancestors, who in many cases were even worse people. Murderers, adulterers, and of course, all those that came after Christ, including ourselves. Christ died for each and every one of us that we might be saved, even when we were apart from Him, even when we hated Him, even those that spat on Him when He went to be crucified. He loved them and He gave His life for them. That's the example that St. Paul gives that we're to follow, and that's also the example that St. John alludes to. That's what it means to love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And that's how we ought to love one another. We're called to be godly. What does the word godly mean? Well, if you analyze the roots of the word, it means to be God-like or like God. Well, how do we do that? When we have true love for God and for everyone else, but practically speaking, what does that mean? That means if we really have that kind of love, we have that love for those that hate us, and we don't withhold it from someone until they straighten up their lives and ask for forgiveness or they become good people. We love them when they're bad people, when they hate us, when they're abusing us, when they're not being nice to us, when they slight us in some way. We love them if we have that love that St. John is talking about here. Later in the same chapter, St. John says, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. That's how we come into deep personal relationship with God, is by having this kind of love. And it's not a love that we have to conjure up on our own. It's a love that God will give us if we will simply repent of our sin and open up our heart for him to fill up with his grace and his love. Further on in the same chapter, St. John says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. St. John states it clearer than anywhere else in Scripture, not to say that there aren't other Scriptures that would lead you to the same conclusion if you interpreted them properly, but he puts it in very stark terms, that you can't be a Christian. You can't say that you love God if you hate people. That's not to say that we love everything about people. That's not to say that we even have to like everyone, because there are people who are bad people, and there's a lot of things about them that are not likable. And we don't have to feel good, warm, fuzzy feelings about people who are mean and cruel and evil. We can hate their sin, but we're not to hate them. We're to pray for them. And feelings, when we talk about love, feelings are a very difficult question, because a lot of times people will say, well, how do I forgive this person because I have all of these feelings? And the key is when you sincerely pray for people, when you can sincerely pray for the people who do evil to you and have hurt you, you've forgiven them and you love them, even though you may not feel warm, fuzzy feelings for them, but you've forgiven them if you sincerely ask that God would bring them to repentance, that he would grant all things that are under their salvation, and that they would be saved. It's that simple. We can spend our time focused on the complicated stuff, and as I said at the beginning, when we see a passage like this, a lot of times say, oh, I already know that. Yeah, we're Christians, we're supposed to love people. We'd rather talk about the beast in Revelation, or the dragon with the seven heads and the ten horns, and what does all that mean? We'll talk about, Palamite theology if we're Orthodox. We'll talk about the essence of the energies, hesychasm. But we often overlook this basic truth, and that's that to be Orthodox, you have to be a Christian. And to be a Christian means you have to keep the commands of Christ. And what is it that Christ commands us in a nutshell? Well, when you come into this church, every time you venerate the icon of St. Jonah, you see the words. St. Jonah in that icon is holding open the gospel, and he's holding it open to John chapter 15, verse 17. And it says, these things I command you, that you love one another. If we're believers, if we're sincere Christians, we will ask God to give us that love, to take away any bitterness, any hatred that we might have for anyone. We'll sincerely pray for them and hope for their salvation, and we will obey that commandment. Amen.